The first reading is from the fifth chapter of 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life, that this man sends words to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned away and went in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more, when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." Word of God, word of life. The second reading is from the second chapter of 2 Timothy. "Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to be present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth." Word of God, word of life. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 17th chapter. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance as they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And they went. They were made clean. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself, which means he fell on his face at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where were they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. You know, I just want to say it one more time from my last sermon. Luke presents the new way of salvation. It's found in faith, not works. Jesus said to this man, "Your faith has made you well." Right? When I was researching this text, I had a lot of questions. What does it mean to be a leper? What exactly is a leper? How does one become a leper? And is this disease still experienced today? Right? In ancient times, a leper was a person who was suffering from leprosy. I found this in the dictionary. It was not helpful. Right? But when I looked further, it can affect your eyes, it can affect your skin, your mucous membranes, your nerves, and it causes disfiguration and sores and nerve damage. Sounds horrible. Another name for this infectious disease is called Hansen's disease. Who knew? People who are infected by leprosy are infected by this bacteria, and I'm going to attempt to say this bacteria, but please, grace. Okay. Mycobacterium lepra. Okay. So for centuries, people were isolated and shunned because they had leprosy, and nobody understood this disease. There's so many diseases that we don't understand still. And then, did you know that leprosy actually still exists today? Looking at the World Health Organization reports 208,000 cases around the globe, and 100 every year are diagnosed in the United States. Who knew? But thanks to modern medicine, it's curable. Amen, right? Amen. It's curable. You know, a lot of things that we contract or that we were born with, things that might isolate us, are not curable. A lot of them are not. So in this modern understanding of leprosy, a person might just be avoided, rejected by others, because of moral or social reasons. And when I was little, we played this horrible game. It was the cootie game, right? And if somebody had the cooties or something, then you didn't play with them or something. It was not nice, right? I would equate that to leprosy, right? As an adult. So being a leper could mean having a disease. Today, it could mean having a personality that is unwanted. It could mean an outward appearance that doesn't fit into some social groups, or even for a job. It could be a disability, an addiction, or a life circumstance, which honestly, none of those things are within our control a lot of the time, okay? But those are the things that isolate us, exclude us, and those with differences are outcast and separated from society. Either our own doing, right? Oh, it would be too hard to go to church today because I need extra help for some apparent reason, so I isolate myself at home, right? So it's either we isolate ourselves or others isolate us. Oh, they're different, so you know what? Their jokes just aren't funny, and I don't know that I want to listen to them anymore. So we isolate them. But Jesus here in Samaria and in the middle of Samaria and Galilee is in this place that might be called the borderlands, right? It's a place that transcends geography, culture, religion, economics, and politics, because there's a variety of people there. In this space where there's a variety of people, Jesus is inclusive. Jesus brings these people, these 10 people that come to him and shout out to him, tells them to go away to the priest and record to the priest. I wondered about that too. I must say, why didn't they go to the physician to be, but it's another sermon, I'm sure. But Jesus accepts all of the people in the borderlands, all those 10 people. There were a couple things that I noticed in the scripture about Jesus. First of all, Jesus doesn't exclude any of the 10. I noticed that Jesus does not complain that there is that the other 9 went their way. And they too got healed, right? They too got healed. So they got physically healed. Jesus encourages us to disclose parts of ourselves that are hidden in the borderlands of ourselves that we isolate ourselves out of fear of being rejected, and to do so for healing. Did you know that Tuesday is a special day in the LGBTQ community? It is coming out day. And I don't know why it's for the LGBTQ community, because I tell you what, there's a lot of things that all of us can come out to, right? Our son came out 1 year. You'll like this. He said, Mom, that's what he calls me, Mom, I want you to know that I am cisgender, I'm a cisgender male, and I'm straight. And I could see how important this was for him, because he is different than his 2 moms. How important that was, that he did not want to be excluded for being different in the family, right? So what changed for the 9 who were isolated, different, and outcast? What changed for the 9? What changed for the 1 who came back? Jesus didn't show bias. As the body of Christ, of believers, how do we respond to outsiders? How can we help change the 9, or the 10, or the 1, or our son, or our family members? How can we help? What are the possibilities and needs of our neighbors? What would healing mean? for the lepers. The healing meant that they could be involved in society. It meant that they could go back to a community and be included. It meant that their body would no longer be hurting. For the one, right? The one that came back. Jesus says, what did Jesus say? He said to him, he said, your faith has made you well. And that means that not only was his body healed, but his spirit, his soul, his insides were healed because Jesus gathered him in. So the appropriate response to the marginalized or the at risk, or my son, when he said, oh, mom, I'm straight, is to gather him up, right? And to gather the community up. When the one said thank you in gratitude, this was important because it shows the partnership between our healing, right? It shows that not only does Jesus provide the opportunity, but we've got to take it. And when we take it, we're going to say thank you so that we can heal inside. My son took the opportunity. Many people on Tuesday will take this opportunity because it is given coming out day. And people will take that opportunity to say, hey, this is me, right? And when they do that, many families will exclude them. And then there will be many families who will gather them up like Jesus. They have courage to show up for themselves and be healed. So the one out of the 10 is a catalyst in his own healing. Your faith has made you well. So faith requires active participation. It requires us to be active in a relationship with Jesus and with God, and with each other. It expands our understanding of who is worthy. Everyone, according to Jesus. So the healing, the turning back and praising God, what is that about? The prostration and the thanksgiving at Jesus' feet. This is an act of gratitude and thanksgiving, and it comes easiest to those who are ignored or untouched, but are genuinely grateful, genuinely healed. The 9, I would imagine that they were physically healed, right? But they're still working on their faith. They're still working on that. So Jesus notices and heals the hurts and the brokenness that are not noticed by others. And our reaction to being included and to being healed spiritually, physically, is to thank and to glorify Jesus, because in doing so, we are glorifying God. So there's this song. I wanted to share some of it with you. It's one of my most favorite songs. Is called Outsiders by Rend Collective. I would encourage you to look it up. But it came to my mind when I was reading this gospel. And part of the words, it says, there are no outsiders to your love. We are all welcome. That's grace enough. "When I have wandered, Lord, your cross is the open door. There are no outsiders. I'm not an outsider to your love. I was tired. I was poor. I was thrown upon your shores. I was homeless and afraid till I heard you call my name. And now I'm ransomed and restored. Resurrected, I am yours. I am loved. Yes, I belong. Oh, my soul has found its home." Like the leper in this story, find your home in Jesus. Be restored through Christ's love by loving yourself and your neighbors, and give thanks with a grateful heart for all that God provides. Amen.